Kiddushin Yerushalmi, corresponding to Kiddushin Bavli, Daf Chofei. We begin Yerushalmi on Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah in the middle of the page. Behema Gasa b'Mesira, u'Behema Daka b'Hagbo'ah. Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar both say that a large animal is acquired through Mesira, which means handing over, and a small animal is acquired through Hagbo'ah, which means lifting. The Chachomim Oimrim Behema Daka Niknes b'Mashicha, a small animal is acquired through Mashicha, which is pulling it into one's domain. The Gemara says, Rav Huna Omar, Ein Mesira Koine b'Nichsei Ager. Mesira does not acquire the property of a convert who died without any inheritors because it wasn't handed over by anyone. The Gemara asks the question of Chizkiah, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Elazar, Shaul. They will ask the following question: Hayulei asoa gamonim kshurim ze bazer, masaloi mosira shel achas mehen kulhen kana oilei kana ela oisish masaloi bilvat. If a person had 10 camels tied one to the next, if he handed over the reins of the one of them, does he acquire all of them or only the animal to which he took the reins? Rav Chista Omar, Moshech es habehema zoi leknoisa kana leknois vad loiseha leikana leknoisa hi vivel loiseha kana. If a person would say, take and acquire this animal, he acquires it. If he says, take and acquire its offspring, he does not acquire it because he's not acquiring the animal itself. And if he says, take and acquire it and its offspring, then he acquires it. Ilu ha'im lechaveru Moshech es habehema zoi shetikne masoi shala shima leikana. The Gemara asks a question against this ruling. The ruling said that he does not acquire its offspring, but if a person would say, take this animal to acquire only its load, would he not acquire the load? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yosi had a detema, v'shaloi hoisa behema uboa. Avnan hoisa uboa, osa hoisa kemasar. Rav Chista was referring to when the animal was not pregnant, but if it was pregnant, they view it like the load, and he would acquire the offspring. And the Gemara brings a proof to that, Rabbi Abba, Rav Huna, b'shem Rav, ha'hein denogid, b'zaka, v'hi mevaza, b'yada, lo'i chayev ba. If a person made an acquisition of Mashicha on a bottle, a leather bottle of wine, and the bottle split open in his hand and the wine was spilt, would he not be responsible for the wine even though he didn't intend to acquire the bottle? And so too, if he took the animal to acquire only the load, he acquires only the load. Am Rabbi Yosi Berbun, Lechein Tzricha Afil Lamala, Legoi Chanusa, Dolis Kavein, Ela Deloi Yizke Ba Chayrin. Rabbi Yosi Berbun tells us that Rav is teaching us that even if he took the bottle in order just to take it to a shop that no one else could then come and buy it, he's already become responsible for it. And the Gemara asks the question, Ma'u shetikne b'shar pachois? If a person said, sell me a barrel of wine, and the seller agreed, if the buyer then took the barrel, do we say that he becomes responsible to pay for the wine if something happened to it, since he would have been agreeable to a lower price? Or do we say that he did not intend to acquire it at the time, since the price was not yet fixed when he took it? And the Gemara answers, Amar Chagai b'shem Rav Yosi, Masnisa Amar she'ina niknes b'shar pachos. Rav Chagai, quoting Rav Yosi, said, there's a Mishnah that teaches us that he did not acquire it according to its lowest price. The Tanin and Taman, because we learn a Mishnah in Masech Zeroi Dezora, Hamoiche yeinu lenochri, posak ad shalei modad, dom of mutarin. Modad shalei posak, dom of asurin. If there was wine that was touched by a goy, or money was paid for a goy's wine, Chazal said that there's an issa to benefit from that wine or that money. So if a Jew sells wine to a goy, if a price was fixed but the wine was not measured out, so it wasn't touched by the goy, the money is still mutter to the Jew. If it was measured out but the price had not been fixed, then the money is asa. And we bring a proof from here. Im oimer at shetiknelei b'shar pachois, afilim modad ad shalei pisek, v'yasa kemisha pisek ad shalei modad v'yu domav mutarin. If you say that he acquires it according to the lowest price, then even in the second case we mentioned, the money should be permitted. And the Gemara asks the question, Shmuel Amar Hahein Denasav Kuzunisa Vihi Mischatva Michayeva. And here we're going to explain according to the Pnei Moshe, if a buyer took a chicken and held it to check it before the price had been fixed, and the chicken then flew away, is the buyer responsible even though he did not make a kinyan because he was negligent? And the Gemara comes to clarify, Amar Shmuel Ba Avudama Hadadatema Batsur Vachavoisea Bekisrin Vachavoisea Bramhacha Ad Kadena Uche Mechaza Lemiskala. This doubt is only in a big city like Sur or like Kisorin and similar sized cities where it's impossible to find and identify the chicken because there are many more chickens like it. But over here, in a small town, he would certainly be required to chase it until he caught it. Rav Shimon ben Lakish b'shem Rav Yonai, ha'moichet tzoyne chaveiroi kevin shemasa lei mashkoichis kana. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, quoting Rav Yonai, said that when a person sells sheep, as soon as he handed over the mashkoichis, the buyer acquires the whole flock. Ask the Gemara, ma'o mashkoichis, what is this mashkoichis? And the Gemara answers, Ista Amrin Chutra, Vista Amrin Shalkukisa, Vista Amrin Negadta. Some say that it's a stick, some say it's a bell, and some say a goat that leads the flock. Reb Yaakov bar Acha, Reb Shimon bar Abba b'shem Reb Shua ben Levi, Hamoicha bar lechaveroi, Kevin shemasalai dalyai kono. Reb Yaakov bar Acha, Reb Shimon bar Abba, quoting Reb Shua ben Levi, say when a person sells a pit, as soon as he hands over the bucket, the buyer acquires the pit. Reb Ami b'shem Reb Yochanan, Hamoicha bar lechaveroi, Kevin shetzava l'seichai kanyoi. Reb Ami, quoting Reb Yochanan, says that when a person sells a house, as soon as the seller piled up the buyer's produce in his house, the buyer acquires it, because it's a kinyan chazoka. Reb Yehuda ben Pazi, by Mosoleis HaMafteach Mah, Reb Yehuda ben Pazi asked, does the buyer also acquire it through the seller handing him the key? And the Gemara answers, Am Reb Zchariah, Chasna de Reb Levi. Reb Zchariah, the son-in-law of Reb Levi, says, Machlokes Reb Shimon v'Chachomim. This, in fact, is a machlokes, a dispute between Reb Shimon and the Chachomim, the Taninan, Tamam, because we learn a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos, HaMoisim HaMafteach La'am HaOretz, Habayis Toho, Shalei Mosolei Ela Shmiras HaMafteach. If one gives his house key to an ignoramus who is not careful with Tumah and Tahara, the contents of the house remain Toho because he only gave him the key to guard. Tani Reb Shimon, Matan Reb Shimon, quoted in the Braisa, says that the contents of the house are actually Tomei because by giving him the key is if he's given him the permission to go throughout the house, and so too in a sale, by giving him the key, this shows that the buyer is taking possession of the entire house. Rabbi Abo, b'shem Reb Shimon ben Lokish, Hamoicha Masa Sadeyu lechaveroi le'asa klum. If a person would sell a tenth of the fruits that his field will produce, he has not done anything at all, because he can't sell something that does not yet exist. V'lad shifchosa lechaveroi le'asa klum, u'boi behemto lechaveroi le'asa klum, ave chavosa lechaveroi le'asa klum. And it's also true for these other three cases. If one would sell the offspring of one slave woman, or the offspring of one's animal, or the heir of one's fallen house, none of these would be a sale, because one can't sell something that does not exist or has no substance whatsoever. Ella, moiche sadeu umeshaya masoisea, moiche lai shivcha umeshaya lai vlada, moiche lai behema umeshaya lai vlada, moiche lai chova umeshaya lai avir. One could sell his field and retain a tenth for himself, or sell his slave woman and retain the offspring for himself, sell his animal and retain the offspring for himself, or sell his fallen house and retain the heir for himself. And the Gemara asks the question, Heich esher lo la'adam limkoi avir chavosai lechaveroi? How could a person actually sell the heir of his fallen house? And the Gemara answers, Tipate ba'aymelei tshleish min ha'chalva ha'zu shetikne echad ne'eseh sheba v'kar kalka lefanav shu'aymelei tshleish min ha'kalka hazeh sheyikne lechoi echad me'eseh sheboi. The seller says, pick something like a weed from the ground of the fallen house, and thereby that would improve the house, and therefore he can acquire a tenth of it, because he's also acquiring the heir together with it. And here also, about the case of a tenth of the fruits, this type of acquisition would also be possible by saying, pick from the field and acquire a tenth of it. Reb Shmuel, Reb Zeira, Reb Chia, Bar Ashi, B'Shem Rav, Ein Mashiach HaKoyne, B'Chotza She'ena Shel Shneim. Reb Shmuel, Reb Zeira, Reb Chia, Bar Ashi, quoting Rav, say, acquisitions through Mashiach don't work in a courtyard that belongs to neither of them, because it's viewed like a Roshus HaRabim, a public domain, where Mashiach does not work. Tani, Reb Chia, Upaleg, Reb Chia's Braisa disagrees with this. Amasai Amu Hamataltalin Niknin Bamashicha, Bushus Arabim, Rebbe Chotza Shaina Shel Shneim. Where is it that we say Metaltalin, which immovable objects are acquired through Mashicha, in a Rushus Arabim, in a public domain or in a courtyard that belongs to neither of them? Abab Rushus Aloikeach, Kevin Shekibralav, Zocha. But in the buyer's Rushus, in his domain, as soon as the seller agreed to the price, the buyer acquires it without the need of doing an act of Mashicha, because his courtyard acquires it for him. And in the seller's rishus, the buyer can't acquire it until he lifts it or he does mashicha by drawing it out of the owner's domain. If it's in the domain of the one with which a seller deposited it, then the buyer only acquires it when he actually lifts it or removes it from that domain, or when he rents the area of that land from the owner of the land. Then the Mishnah told us, the Chachamim Oimim Behem Adaka Niknes Pemashicha. The Chachamim said that a small animal is acquired through Mashicha. Mao time and Rabbanon, what is the source for Rabbanon's din? And we quote a Pasuk in Shmois in Perk Yud Beis, in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Moshru Krulachem Soin, the Mishpachoy Seichem, when talking about the Korban Pesach, it says, take and thereby acquire for yourselves one of the flock for your families. This is like the question that Rav Yehuda sent to be asked in the Beis Medrash. How is a large animal acquired? Amalei b'mesira, and the message came through that is acquired through mesira, which is handing over. Amulei, they said to him, V'loi masnifihi behem agasen is masira. Do we not have an explicit mission that teaches that a large animal is acquired through masira? So what was the reason that he asked this question? Is Tani Michlef, the answer is, there are some Tanaim who have a different text and say that one could also acquire it through Mashicha. Rav Yehuda wanted to clarify whether Masira is the only method or whether Mashicha is also allowed. The Gemara asked the question, Rav Yehuda, Shal, Rav Elazar, Bechor, Shenitraf, Besech, Shlishim. Rav Yehuda asked Rav Elazar, what is the din of a firstborn son that became a trefer, unable to live within 30 days of its birth? Do we say that without this accident he would have lived 30 days, so he's considered not to be considered a stillborn, and he would not therefore be exempt from Pidyon HaBen, from redemption of the firstborn? Or do we say that as a result of his accident he will not live until 30 days, so he is now exempt from Pidyon HaBen? And Rav Elazar gave the answer, Amalei, Kama Shemes Upata Mach Masalaim Shel Ben. It's as if he is dead and he is exempt from the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara asks the question of Yehuda Shalach, Shal Rav Elazar, Shilaya Shiyatzas Mixasa Hayoim Mixasa Lemocha. If a placenta came out partially on one day and partially on the next day, so the mother has to keep the days of Tumma for childbirth, because there can't be a placenta without a fetus, and the fetus must have dissolved inside the mother, but from which stage did you actually count these days of impurity? And Rav Elazar answers the question, Amalei, Im Ladam Toho, Moine Miyom Arishoin, Vim Ladam Tome, Moine Miyom Shein. The answer is, we go stringently in both dinim. For the din of pure blood, she counts it from the first day, and for impure blood, she counts it for the second day. And this means to say that we know that a woman who gives birth has to count 7 impure days for a boy, followed by 33 days when her menstrual blood is actually pure. And if she had a girl, she keeps 14 days of impure, followed by 66 days of pure blood. And here, because we have a doubt, we are stringent in the application of both these dinim, in which case she counts her impure days from the second day, and she counts her pure days from the first day. Am Rav Matanya, Hadadatem Rav Shula Yatsa Ima Vlad, Avalim Yatsa Ima Vlad, Ben Ladam Toiha, Ben Ladam Tome, Eina Moine Ele Meshas, Yitzir Savlad. This only applies when it was not accompanied by a fetus. But if it was accompanied by a fetus, whether for the din of the Toho blood or for the Tome blood, she only counts when the fetus actually comes out. Rav Yehuda, Shalach Rav Elazar, Shomer Shemasa LaShem. Rav Yehuda asked Rav Elazar, if a watchman handed over the item to another watchman and then the item became damaged, which watchman has to pay? Amarle, so Rav Elazar answered him, Harishoin Chayv is the first one who is liable, because he was appointed by the owner to guard it, although afterwards the first could demand the repayment from the second. Rav Yochanan Omer Harishoin Chayv, Yochanan also said the first one is liable. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omer Hasheni Chayv, he says that the second one is liable. And the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah in Bav Metzia, Taman Taninan Haseiche Par Mechaveiroi Veshila Laache Umeisa Kadalka Yishava Haseiche Shemeisa Kadalka Vashoyel Meshalem Laseiche. If a person rented a cow and then lent it to someone and it died while it was being used in the regular way, then the renter has to make a shavua, an oath, that it died in the regular way, because the renter is potter from accidental loss, and the borrower must pay the renter because the borrower is chayev for accidental loss. Am Rabbi Yosa, Ketzad hala oisus chayev b'parasa shelzeh, elatachzai paro l'vaylim. Rabbi Yosa asked, how could it be that the renter earns money from a cow that does not belong to him? Rather, the payment of the borrower should be paid to the owner. Rabbi Elah, B'shem Rabbi Yanai, V'hu Shenosanle Roshus Lehashil, Avim Loi Nosanle Roshus Lehashil, Loi Bada. Rabbi Elah, quoting Rabbi Yanai, says this applies only if the owner gave permission to the renter to lend it out. But if he didn't, the renter cannot exempt himself with a shvur. And we're being a support from this. V'tani Rabbi Chia, we have a b'risa that Rabbi Chia quoted, Cain, Ein Ashor Roshai Lehashil, V'le Asrich Roshai Lehashir, V'le Ashoyer Roshai Lehashir, V'le Asrich Roshai Lehashil, V'le Misha Hufkot Etzlai Roshai Lehafkid, Etzal Acher, Elim Cain Not Roshus Men Abaylim, V'kulam Shishinu Shalai Medas Abaylim, Chayovim. A borrower cannot lend, nor can a renter rent out, nor can a borrower rent out, nor can a renter lend, nor can one entrusted to watch an item give the item to another to watch, unless he was given permission by the owner. If any of these people change from the intent of the owner, then that person is liable for any accidental loss. And the Gemara asked the question, V'shoyel afir loishin echayev. A borrower is liable for accidental loss, even if he didn't change from the owner's intent. And the Gemara answers that if again the Tanin and Taman, the reason is because we have a mission over them, Bava Metzia, that teaches, Mas Nashem Mechinam Lios Potter, Meshua, Vaishor Lios Potter, Melashalem, Osamemelach Afilahisne Emoishu Potter, Chayev. The Mishnah teaches that an unpaid watchman, a shomer chinam, can make a stipulation that he will be exempt from making a shua if he claims that the item was lost or stolen, because usually he'd have to make a shua in order to be exempt from payment. Or a borrower could make a stipulation that he will be exempt from paying for accidental loss. You might have said there that even if he made a stipulation with the owner, but then he made a change by lending to someone else, he would be exempt, but we teach here that actually he is liable. And the Gemara asks, Bikesh Lashbiyas Ashoyel. If a person who owns an animal rented out his animal and agreed that the renter is exempt from a shvur in a case where the animal died, if then, with the permission of the owner, the renter lent it out and the animal died, can the owner then require the borrower to make a shvur? And the Gemara answers, Nishma min Hador, let's learn from the Mishnah in Ksubois, Kosov lo nede ushvur, ein li alayich, ein li yoch lashbiya, avamashviya hu et yosher vesaboyim burushusa. If a man wrote a document to his wife saying, I cannot require from you any vow or shvur, that you have not taken any payment of your ksub money already, so he cannot require a shvur. But if she died, then he can require shvur from her inheritors or others who are demanding the ksub payment. And this shows that the owner can require the borrower to make a shvur. And the case of ksuba is learnt from the case of the renter over here, that if the husband did not exempt his wife from a shvur, he can require to make a shvur, just as an animal owner can require a renter to make a shvur. Rebchina doesn't like this, he rejects this, and he says, this din does not need to be learnt from the case of the owner and the renter. It's clear from the Mishnah and Ksubas itself that taught that he can release her from any requirement to make a shura, and this shows that usually he could require her to make a shura. Uma sricha melef ahi min hador, ki adam rabbi la, b'shem rabbi anai, v'hu shenosan lai v'shus l'shoyel, v'hachu shenosan lai v'shus, shiu bonea apotropin. The din that does have to be learnt from this case was said by Rabbi Hilah, quoting Rabbi Anai, that the case is when the owner gave permission to lend it out. And here also the husband gave permission for her children to act as apotropin, as guardians. However, if he had not given permission, even if the husband had exempted her from making a shura, he can still require it since she made a change. Rabbi Yonai said earlier that if the owner did not give the renter permission to lend it, the renter will be chayev to pay for accidental damage. Rabbi Yonai said the renter must pay him rent for the entire rental period. The Gemara asks the question of Rizeira Shal, Rabbi Avina, Shalua Habailim Umesa, if the owner himself borrowed the animal from the renter and then it died, what's the din? Amaole, Ravina answered, Kain Anan Kaiman, Afilu Achlua, the owner must pay even if he borrowed it from the renter and he ate it. Am Rabbi Yosi Berbun, Shelahem Achlu. Rabbi Yosi Berbun rejects this and he says, no, the owner ate his own property, so he should be exempt. Rabbi Zeira bar koin Rabbi Yasser. Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Yasser the following question: Heich abdin uvda, what is a halacha when a shomer handed over to another shomer? Amale Rabbi Yasser answered: Trei kol kabel arba le abdin uvda besugya. There are two, which is Rabbi Yudan and Rish Lakish, who say that the second one is chayev against four, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Yochanan, who say that the first one is liable. So should we not follow the four over the two, and therefore conclude that the first one will be liable? Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira rejected that. Trei kol kabel trei inun rabloza tamidei debchia rava Rabbi Yochanan tamidei debyanai. It's really two against two, because the rabloza is a talmid of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan is a talmid of Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yehuda shalach shal the rabloza. Rabbi Yehuda sent a question to rabloza. Ha'achin shecholku v'achachach yibem echad mehem. If there were brothers who inherited the estate of their father, and then one died and the others divided the estate, if one of them performed Yibum, do we say that although the inheritance was divided before the Yibum, then upon performing Yibum he receives back the entire estate of the dead brother, which is usually the case when a brother performs Yibum? Alternatively, since at the time that they divided it, all of the brothers were suitable to do Yibum, they all receive equal portions of the brother's estate. Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar answered, Zochu kulam benichsei hameis. All receive equal portions in the dead brother's estate. Ule bar Shmuel amar, Matzas daite al Rabbi Elazar, v'lo shenaye hi checholku v'chachach yibim echa mehen, hi she yibim echa mehen v'chachach holku, zochu kulam benichsei hameis. Rabbi Elazar has aligned himself with the understanding of that of Reish Lakish, that there's no difference whether they first divided and then he performed yibim, or first they performed yibim and afterwards it was divided. The Gemara asks, "Lamale amale." So why did Rav Elazar not express this at the time when he gave his answer that it actually applies to both cases? And the answer is, "Madashale agive." He answered the question that he was asked. Asked the Gemara, "Lamale shalulo." So why did Rav Yehuda not ask this question? Means when there was first Yibam and then he divided, why did he not ask Rav Elazar what is the din? Damu Avina b'shem Rav Asi b'chor shechalak b'pashut chazaka viter. Ravina answered, quoting Rav Asi, "If a firstborn receives an equal portion with his brothers in his father's estate, even though the Torah actually gives him a double portion, he's waived his claim on the double portion. Since the case of first Yibam and then division is also referring to a case of a firstborn, because the Torah says that a Yavam will take the place of his firstborn brother, it's obvious that he's waived his claim and that all will receive equal portions in the dead brother's estate." And now another question that Rav Yehuda asked. Rav Yehuda shalach shal Rav Elazar, he asked Rav Elazar the following question. Achim shecholku, if brothers were partners in their father's estate and they later wish to divide it, what do they divide? Amalei Rav Elazar answered, cholkin ma she'aleihem ve'en cholkin lo ma she'al b'neihem v'le'ama she'al b'neiseihem. They divide even the clothing on their backs, but they don't divide the clothes on the backs of their children. Rabbi Imi oimer ha'ise shum levitoi mevi'im shum le'emsa v'cholkin. Rav Imi says, if one had clothes made for his wife and they have a significant value, then when the children come to divide the late father's estate, they also include these clothes in the division. If one had a katala, which is a piece of jewelry that looks like a choker, and he had made it made for his wife, it's not brought to divide amongst the inheritors because they're assumed to relinquish their rights to it. Now this applies to jewelry that's suitable for weekday use, but if it's expensive, so it's only suitable for use on Yom Tov, on festivals, it's divided amongst the inheritors. Rabbi Mana Omar, Klei Regel Chokin, Klei Shabbos Sricha. Clothing for festivals is divided, but clothing for Shabbos is questionable. Rabbi Avin, Pshitele, Bem Klei Regel, Bem Klei Shabbos, Mevim, Le'emsa V'Chokin. It was clear to Rabbi Avin, though, that both for festival and for Shabbos clothing, they are both divided. Rabbi Zeira bar Koim Rabbana, Elaine Bulsaya. Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Mana, what about glass mirrors? Are they also divided? Amalei Rabbi Mana answered, Chakim at Di Issach Bulsin Sagin, Amalei Mevim Vecholkin. It's clear that you have a lot of glass mirrors, and that's why you're asking me. And the answer is, they are also divided. Rabbi Yehuda Shalach Shalom Rabbi Elazar. Another question Rabbi Yehuda asked Rabbi Elazar is, Mao Ligvois Min Avodim Kekar Kois. One can collect a debt of a father only from the fields of the orphans, but not from movable objects. Is a slave viewed like a field, or is he viewed like a movable object? Amalei, goivim in avodim kakakois, Rav Elazar answers him, slaves are like fields, it is permitted to collect them as payment. Hoi Rav Elazar le'ilein, debeis Rav Yanai, legvois min avodim kakakois, and Rav Elazar instructed in the house of Rav Yanai that they can collect slaves like fields as payment. Now another question, Rav Yehuda shalach shal Rav Elazar, Ha'anas va'agazlan va'aganav. Rabbi Yehuda asked Rabbi Elazar, a coercer, a thief, or a burglar who took an animal and it died, or utensils and they broke, do we evaluate the carcass or broken utensils, give those items to the owner, and reduce their value from the payment that has to be given to the owner? Amalei Rabbi Elazar answered, Chazaka she'in abai limetaplin b'misa. The assumed position is the owner does not deal with the carcass, rather the carcass belongs to the thief and the full value of the animal or of the utensils has to be paid to the owners. Uminayin she'in abai limetaplin b'misa. And what's the source to say that the owner does not deal with the carcass at all? Amar Rabbi bar Mamal. Rabbi Mamal quotes a pasuk in Shmois, in Perek Chof Beis, in pasuk Gimel, Chaim Shnai Mishalem. He has to pay double, and we know from there that he has to pay the live value of the animal, but not its dead value. And the Gemara asks, Ad kodein geneva, gezela. This pasuk only explains a burglar, but what about a thief? And Rabbun quotes a different pasuk in Vayikra, in Perek Hei, pasuk Chof Gimel, Ve'heshvitz gezela asher gozal be'ena. He has to return the stolen item that he stole when it still exists, as he stole it. But if it died, he has to pay the full value of the item that he stole.